News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Staring at the big screen here in the studio, I see General Jack Keane's about to make comments on the situation in Ukraine. I won't be able to get to that until during the break, but I'll let you know if something comes up that I can get to. Hey, listen, folks, I got to tell you, if you are finding yourself getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, I always tell you, and I remind you every time, it does not matter. You just literally got to go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and on that website, you can click on Listen Live, and no matter where you are in the world, there we are too. Like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. And that's why we have so many listeners in so many places. It's very cool. So yeah, check that out. That website, though, has got so much stuff on it. In fact, I forgot to check the numbers. I'm going to try and scroll down the page here in a second and see if I can figure out where we stand right now in terms of the number of podcasts downloaded. I'm imagining that we are somewhere well in excess. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Oh, we are, I mean, Copper, we are like on the cusp of 30,000.
Ooh, nice.
I mean, like just on the cusp, but like probably by tomorrow, I'd say it's going to be well over 30,000. That's like, woo, like we're there. All right. Very cool. But yeah, the podcasting, if you're someone who likes to listen to the show in segments, or you want to catch a part of it in your drive, or you want to send, like, say, a monologue or a Copper's Corner or an interview I did with somebody to a friend to hear it or post it on your own social media, you can do that. So just go there to the website, rightsideradio.org, and you'll find every version of podcasting out there known to man, I think. I mean, Birdman does all that, does a great job at it. But yeah, we got them on Podbean, we got it on Google, we got it on Amazon, we got it on Apple, all the different versions. The other things that we got on there, two more things, though, I got to tell you. Number one is we have the Right Side store. You can buy Right Side swag, if you will. If you like some swag, if you need some coffee mugs, if you need stickers, if you want t-shirts, if you want a Right Side logo phone case, we got those. We've also got my favorite. You've heard me say it. I get mocked, but it is true. I'm a fan of the Right Side socks. Yes, we have socks. Socks with the Right Side Radio logo on them, which I get the biggest kick out of. I don't know why. I just do. But there's that. The last thing, though, you may be hearing an ad playing, or one that I recorded myself, but it's right there on the website. So coming up a week from this Thursday, March the 10th, in the evening, at Burritt on the Mountain on Montesano in Huntsville, the Alabama Policy Institute is having a dinner. It's a celebration of conservatism. It's an opportunity to get together, celebrate the fact that we are conservatives and that we do stand for something. Well, I'm the keynote speaker at that dinner, and I've worked out a special deal. So I don't get a chance to see all my Right Side ruffians in person. I mean, a lot of times it's a voice on the phone or an email, but I'd love to meet some of you in person. And so that being said, I've got this special deal. If you want to come to that dinner, all you got to do is go to the rightsideradio.org website. There's a big blue button at the top that says buy tickets to the 2022 dinner. You click on that, buy your tickets online. If you enter the promo code RIGHTSIDE, half price tickets. I got that worked out. Do not let that be something that gets in your way. Let me know if you have a problem, but I would love to have y'all there. Seats are limited, so if you want to go, I'd get a ticket while you can. And so anyway, there, that's all on the website. All the stuff, the Right Side store, the podcast, the tickets to the event, whew, and Listen Live, all that. So there's my shameless plug for everything Right Side all at one time. I got some stuff, man. We got plenty going on, but right now I'll just tell you, Ukraine and Russia have sat down for talks. Now, I don't know what in the world you expect to hear in this conversation. I mean, to me, the opening salvo is Russians go home and then the Russians say no. What? I'm not sure how far the talks are supposed to go. What is it? Are they going to concede? Like, we'll give you the Donbass region if you'll go home? I don't know. But yeah, that's been ongoing. Apparently, when they sat down, the two negotiating teams, immediately upon the negotiations starting, there were explosions in the capital city of Kyiv. And so the clear indication is that Putin was basically saying, yeah, we'll talk to you, but we're going to keep blowing stuff up in the meantime. Well, a lot of things happening in this regard. John Kirby, Pentagon press secretary, gave a briefing a little while ago talking about the fact that Vladimir Putin apparently decided it was a good idea to put his nuclear forces on special duty. Yep, special combat duty. Like, basically, they postured them in a forward-leaning DEFCON 1, if you will. Well, this is getting weird, all right? We're going to break it down for you and then have some guests to help us with it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, listen, there's been a lot of talk about what's going to happen with Putin. Is he going to lash out at the United States? Is he going to do something that would, cause some, direct threat to the homeland, so to speak, here at home? And one of the means by which it is, being talked about that he could do this would be in the form of cyber attacks. Now, you can have cyber attacks that can shut down, the power grid. You can have power, you can have water and sewer shut off. You can have banking disrupted. You can have government payroll systems disrupted. You can have, business entities shut down, Wall Street shut. So cyber attacks are a very real threat. In fact, many are saying that cyber is one of the clearest examples of the most modern aspects of warfare. That being said, what happens if you have cyber attacks? Now, I believe what we're about to hear on the Cyber Minute, which is, one of our sponsors now is Bellwether Technology, and they come in once a week, and they do a thing called the Cyber Minute, where they give you some things to think about. In the words of Chris at Bellwether, they literally take geek speak and make it so that, the average person like me can understand what's going on. So with that being said, I believe what we're about to hear is a discussion of the potential for cyber attacks and, potentially what we do about it. Copper Cyber Minute, Episode 5. Go ahead and play it.
The Cyber Minute.
Welcome to the Cyber Minute, brought to you by Bellwether Technology, www.bellwethertechnology.com. Today's Cyber Minute, what is cyber hardening? Assessing your electronic systems for exposure to external actors and ensuring they are as well defended and tough to crack as possible is called hardening. Hardening does not ensure 100% security, but the point is to make it difficult for attackers so they look for easier targets somewhere else. With the escalation of military action between Russia and the Ukraine, cybersecurity professionals are already seeing escalations in cyber attack activity as well. Those attacks will be increasingly directed towards the US-based systems as we increase diplomatic pressure to stop the fighting. So how can you harden your personal systems? Well, it's really not that hard, and here are some basic steps you can take. Number one, make sure to change all the usernames and passwords of your internet-connected devices. Number two, don't use birth dates, names, or other personally identifiable information as part of your password. Number three, make sure your passwords are strong, 12 or more characters with a mix of upper and lowercase letters, numbers, and special characters like exclamation points, pound signs, and percent signs. Four, make sure your passwords to your banking, credit, and other financial services are not the same as the passwords you use for email, gaming, and other online activities. Number five, make sure all of your important personal data is backed up, preferably to an external hard drive or USB thumb drive. Number six, make sure you're using a reputable antivirus and internet surfing protection on any device you use for internet surfing. And lucky number seven, lastly, make sure your operating systems, internet browsers, Wi-Fi routers, IoT devices are all up to date on patches and software upgrades. Good luck, stay safe, and don't make the attacker's job easy. The Cyber Minute aims to take geek speak in the cyber world and translate them into topics that non-technical people can enjoy and learn from. Check us out and download each episode from our website at www.thecyberminute.org. This has been your Cyber Minute. I'm your host, Chris Williams. I'll see you next time.
Well, that was good. And Copper, I don't know about you, but I think I'm guilty of violating at least three of the seven. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I won't say which three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these whole two-factor authentication password things, they drive me insane. I know they're better for safety, but they take up so much daily time.
So Charlene and I wanted to watch something on TV yesterday, realized we had to actually go log in to our cable provider's website to then get access to that, to be able to, and it's like, and it was like two-factor, and I'm not a bot, and how many trucks are in this picture, and I mean, at some point you're like, God almighty, I just want to watch a show.
Right.
But yeah, I get it. And then the question becomes, all right, what's the safest way of keeping all the passwords that no one in their right mind can possibly remember? I mean, if you put them all on your phone and somebody gets your phone, they've got all your passwords. If you write it on a little piece of paper and stick it in your wallet and lose your wallet, guess what? They got all your passwords. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. Have a password to protect all your passwords. And then, by the way, which is a thing. But anyway, well taken from the Cyber Minute, especially in light of the fact that we are staring at a cyber unfriendly world right now, and we rely on cyber for everything. If it's electronic, it can be accessed. All right, folks, moving on here. I'm going to get going here. Coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, my good friend Chris May, who has had ministry in the Ukraine now for 20 years. He adopted his daughter from Ukraine. His organization, Mercy's Hope, has been active there. He has made over 40 trips himself to Ukraine and has really had a powerful impact not only on their lives, but them on his life. And he on mine. I'll be honest with you, Chris May is someone too who I can look at and from a spiritual and personal and friendship standpoint, he's a significant person in my life. And he's got some contacts over there right now that are giving him boots on the ground perspective of what's happening, some of which is coming across as being very like miraculous, like encouraging, like, wow, that just happened. The kind of things that you think are going to be made into movies. And I'm hoping we can get that kind of perspective from him, and he'll be able to share with us, you know, very distinctly, because he has to be careful, because sometimes what he shares could also be used against them in the future. We don't want to let it happen. I'll tell you this, though. Looking around the state of Alabama, for instance, AL.com ran a story just the other day, February 26th, today's the 28th. This came out Saturday. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is not just affecting that country, Ukrainian protesters said Saturday in Huntsville. That's right. We had a group of about 50 or 60 carrying signs and praying together in the rain at the courthouse in Huntsville, right down there at Madison County Courthouse in the square. And it says that similar demonstrations were in Birmingham and across the country. One of the individuals, a man by the name of Roman Baragovsky, said, "We know we can't do much, but our God is great. We stand firm in prayer. We stand firm in solidarity, and we stand firm in freedom." And he also said that he still has parents and an uncle that are living in fear right now in Ukraine, back home. Moving on, though, and talking about updates to the overall. So, story over this weekend, and by the way, you know, I was talking to Charlene about this. I could continue to upgrade my resourcing for this show, like, minute by minute. It keeps changing. There are things that are happening, even as we're on the air right now, I guarantee you, there's going to be something new, and I'll have to kind of grab it and say, oh, story out right now. But for right now, I will tell you this. I'm going to try and give you some glossy, kind of, not glossy, but, you know, sort of the broad picture, one over the world view. And then I'll also try and get down to the weeds on some things that are very interesting. NationalPost.com reports as of Saturday that a defiant President Volodymyr Zelensky had said Kyiv remained under Ukrainian control on Saturday as Russian forces were renewing their assault, pounding the capital and other cities with artillery and cruise missiles. You know what's weird to me, too, is I am hearing that there are fringe elements who believe that the stories coming out of Ukraine are not real. Wake up, people. It's real. I'm also hearing that there are even members of Congress that are going and speaking at groups that believe that Russia is the victor here and Russia is in the right. Wake up, people. He's a tyrant, and his goal is to take that which is not his. That is not the essence of what we want to align ourselves with. That being said, U.S. defense officials, according to the National Post, say that Ukraine's forces are putting up a very determined resistance to what was designed as a three-pronged Russian advance. Now, by the way, it is creating incredible hardships, though. Don't think that the resistance means that all is good. I mean, right now we're looking at the most recent report just a little while ago. Half a million refugees have already left the country, flooding into places like Poland to the west. So that's ongoing. And by the way, just for perspective, let me tell you, this weekend I did some looking to try and make sure that I had a mental perspective on the fight going on right now. First of all, to give you guys sort of a mental view, the nation of Ukraine is geographically roughly the size of Texas, all right? The nation of Ukraine's population, depending upon which story you're reading, is somewhere between 42 and 44 million. I mean, that's a big swag, but nonetheless, 40-plus million people. Now, keep in mind, the population of Alabama is just over 5 million. Gives you an idea, all right? The capital city, Kyiv, I always called it Kiev, but Kyiv, whatever. The reality is that is the second largest city, I believe, in Europe. And to give you some additional perspective, Kyiv or Kiev, whichever you want to call it, is actually bigger than Chicago. That big, all right? Over 3 million people in one city. Keep in mind the city of Birmingham, right here in Alabama, just Birmingham itself, not the surrounding metro area, but Birmingham itself is only about 250,000. All right, so Kyiv is a huge city. So when you hear the Russians are trying to take it, just understand this. That is no small thing. All right, when I was in Baghdad, Baghdad was a city of roughly 5 million. Huge. And people were coming in every day trying to find work. It was huge. And I'm just going to tell you, it creates logistical nightmares for troops on the ground. It creates force-on-force fighting doorway to doorway that is epic in scale. And this is going to be unlike anything. If it comes down to a complete slugfest in Kyiv, it's going to be epic. I'm just saying. If the populace is really going to rally like they seem to be, if the army is going to continue to fight as well as they seem to be, the Ukrainian army, then the Russians are going to have a heck of a time clearing the streets of Kyiv, all right? Because, like I said, bigger than Chicago, that's how big it is. All right, now, we've got a whole lot in the news about what's going on. Now, here's the thing. Zelensky did announce, President Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, he did announce that he had agreed to, or actually, I don't know if he saw it. I think he's the one who saw it. For discussions with Russia about, you know, what's the way forward here? And kind of surprised everybody, President Putin agreed that there would be talks. Well, you're the one just invaded 4 days ago and you're already agreeing to talks? Now, a story I've got in a minute, if I get to it, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice believes that may be an indication. This is not going as well as Putin had hoped, which many people would say is true. But it also could mean that he's looking for a way out to be the hero still. And I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, they started talks today, like I said earlier. And those talks were originally, you know, declined because it was discussed about having them in Belarus. But Belarus just declared war on Ukraine. So, yeah, why would you want to go there for talks? All right, Copper, we're up against the break. Go ahead and move us to the break. Let's do that. We'll come back and continue the conversation. And then again, at the top of the hour, remember, my friend Chris May is going to come in, give us some firsthand perspective of things he's hearing about folks on the ground. And I'm going to be honest with you, some of it's pretty inspiring. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right here on the News Talk Powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN. And that's only because you guys have made it a powerhouse. And what we see in the stats shows that this is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama. And that's because of y'all, too. Thank you so much for the fact that we have an audience full of right side ruffians, folks who listen, who tune in, and who really are the whole reason why this show exists. So great stuff. Thank you so much. Hey, listen, moving on with this number one of the triple dipper, Ukraine at the next level. So story, and I pulled this one, by the way, I went straight to the UN website. I do not recall a time when I have felt like the United Nations was a truly effective body for anything else other than gathering and pontificating. I'm probably wrong. I bet there's something good that's been done at some point. But the reality is most of it just appears to be, let's get together and talk about how we can do stuff. I mean, when you think about the fact that right now, do you know who right now is the sitting president or chairman, if you will, of the United Nations Security Council? Russia. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, story off of UN.org. 11 of the council's 15 members voted in favor of a Security Council action on Ukraine. However, China, India, and the United Arab Emirates abstained. Why would they abstain? Well, China, you can imagine. India has a major trade deal for coal going with Russia. United Arab Emirates is probably worried about losing some kind of oil deal they've got. Anyway, the bottom line is there was only one no vote. You know who voted no? You know who voted no, by the way, against a Security Council action on Ukraine? Russia itself. Why is Russia not required to recuse on something about Russia? Why would that be all right? Why is it okay? I mean, nowhere else in the world are you allowed to vote on something that impacts yourself. But nonetheless, Russia literally voted no against taking any action against Russia. Go figure that in the United Nations. But we did have some neat words from our own ambassador, Linda Thomas-Greenfield. She basically painted a picture of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, calling it bold and brazen. And she told the body, she said, "We have a solemn responsibility not to look away." Well, good words there. Of course, like I said, it went down in flames when Russia itself voted against it. And after it was defeated, Ms. Thomas-Greenfield took the floor again, and our ambassador said, "You can veto this resolution, but you cannot veto our voices. You cannot veto the truth. You cannot veto our principles. You cannot veto the Ukrainian people, and you cannot veto the UN Charter, and you will not veto accountability." Well, that's great words, and I'm glad to hear it being said on the international stage by someone representing the United States. Again, I've never really seen the United Nations become a true actor. They are great at, you know, pontificating and gathering and perhaps sorting things out more in peacetime, but in a time of war, it is not the organization that you really turn to see a resolution. But at the very least, it gives a forum for people to discuss. You know, a cool article here I've got. Let me shift gears on you completely. Charlene pointed this out to me this weekend. So some of y'all may be familiar with Joel Rosenberg. He's a Christian author. He's also Jewish. I believe he's a Messianic Jew. But anyway, writing in All Israel News. The headline of it is, "Could Ukraine's Jewish president actually win this war?" And the subtitle says, "The veteran Ukrainian diplomat, who is himself a devout Christian, tells All Israel News of the miraculous successes over Russian forces overnight and describes President Zelensky as a surprise hero that Hollywood ought to make a movie about." Kind of goes back to my monologue earlier in the show. He goes on to say that for the last few months, Zelensky's critics have actually been calling him a joke. He's unsophisticated, he's unprepared. He was an actor before he was in a position to be in charge. It says, "But no one is laughing anymore. He is the grandson of Holocaust survivors, and he is slowly but surely convincing more and more of his critics that he was born for this particular moment." And this particular ambassador went on to talk about the amazing nights in which it was anticipated that Kyiv would fall, and they woke up the next morning to find that there were no Russian troops on their streets because they had been turned back. My friend Chris May is coming in a few minutes. Like I said, I think he's got some perspective coming from people who were actually on the ground. And we'll hear what he has to say, because I'm curious. I'm tired of reading news stories. I want to hear somebody talk about what they're seeing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back with Chris May and more in number one of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine at the next level.